Hey guys, thanks for joining us online again. It's great that you could do so. My name's Matt. Today we're going to continue our series looking at what pleases God. And today we're going to unpack how listening pleases God. So keep your Bibles open to that passage. And then we're also going to jump around to a few other places in our Bibles. But as we get started, let's pray and thank God and ask Him for His help. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can read Your Word. We can open it so freely. And today we ask that You help us as we do so. Help us to grow in our knowledge so that our love and faith can deepen. We ask You that You soften our hearts and open our minds. Change us to be more like Christ. Amen. Now I want to start with a question, right? What's the key to a good relationship? What's the key to a good relationship? Whatever the relationship is with your spouse or your parents or your children, someone else that you live with, it may be your boss or someone under you at work, it could even be your hairdresser. What's the key to a good relationship? Well, it's trust, isn't it? Trust is the key. And the way to get good trust is through communication. Now, James in his letter tells us that the biggest part of communication that we need to concentrate on is listening. He says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Now, I want to clarify terms here because I want to say that hearing something and listening to something are two completely different things. Now, let me tell you a story. Back when I was a kid, me and Dad would go down to the local cricket nets and practice my batting. I wasn't the best batter, and it was mostly because all I wanted to do was hit the ball over the fence as hard as I could. And in doing so, I would constantly take my eye off the ball. And so Dad, being patient, he would try to instruct me and teach me that all I needed to do was keep my eye on the ball. Don't worry about power, that'll come later. Just keep your eye on the ball. And every time I responded the same. Yes, yes, I know. Keep your eye on the ball, I know. And every time the ball would come, I would pull in a big backswing and try to hit the ball as hard as I could, taking my eye off it and miss it. It's probably why I never got to play with Australia. I reckon that's probably the only reason. And that's what hearing is. It's acknowledging that you heard something, but not taking it on board. Not actually letting it change your thinking or impact you in any way. But listening to someone, it doesn't necessarily mean that you do what they say or recommend, but you do take it in. It changes the way you're thinking. It impacts your life and what you're doing. And it's that kind of listening that builds relationships. And it's that kind of listening that pleases God and builds our relationship with God. Now, we'll come back to listening and how it helps in our relationship with God, but I want to unpack a few more things about why listening pleases God. Because listening pleases God, because listening to Him means we fear Him. This is very important to understand, and we're going to look at our passage that we read today from Isaiah 66. And we can see straight from the first two verses, God's power. It says there, the heaven is His throne and the earth is its footstool. Think about the most powerful person you can. You know, it may be someone in government or politics. It may be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. You know, it could be your mother-in-law or Superman, the most powerful person you know. Think about them. And then look at this again. The world is His footstool. I mean, the world doesn't even get to be His throne. It's the place where He puts His feet when He sits down. That's how powerful God is. And then it continues to go on. You know, where could You possibly build a house for me? Verse 2, my hand made all things. Everything you see, everything you want to see in the world, God made it. And He did it through speaking a few words. God is powerful. He's more powerful than we can imagine. And God is righteous as well. It's not like the power comes and corrupts Him. God is pure and perfect and righteous. And Psalm 71, verse 19, your righteousness reaches the heights, God, you who have done great things. God, who is like You? God is perfect. In every way, He's powerful, He's righteous. He's not just the picture of perfect, He is perfection Himself. And God's power and righteousness is only highlighted even more when you compare God to us, or us to God. Down further in verse 2, he says, I will look favorably on this kind of person. All right, take note. This is the kind of person. One who's humble, submissive in spirit, and trembles at my word. And you think, oh, this is good, right? This gives us a benchmark to go to, somewhere to work from. And then he lists off groups of people down in verse 3. And I bet as you read it, like I did when I first read it, you're trying to see which one is this person who's humble and fears the word and is submissive out of the two. And we get all the way to the bottom of verse 3. And it says, all these have chosen their ways and they delight in their abhorrent practices. See, it's easy to look at ourselves and point out how good we are. But if we listen to God, we see that we don't measure up. We are not actually that good. And that's part of being human, isn't it? We admit it all the time. You know, I'm only human. I don't get things right all the time. We're very happy to admit our faults and our flaws and our imperfections. We're only human. And then we go on living our lives. And this is where the problem lies, because as we continue to listen to God, we see that living less than perfect lives, not being righteous as God is, leads to judgment from God. Now have a look at verse 4. I will choose their punishment. I will bring on them what they dread. See, God will bring on us what we dread because we are not perfect. We are not righteous like He is. And that dread, that suffering and death. We all want to live healthily forever, but God will bring suffering and death. See, understanding God's power and righteousness and our complete lack of both, and seeing the consequences that that brings, the suffering and death and judgment, that should lead us to fear God. Fear that turns us back to God. But again, fear of the Lord only comes when we listen to God, when we hear and listen about His power and righteousness and the judgment that comes from it. That's why God is pleased when we listen to Him. Because when we listen to Him, we fear Him and we hear His warnings about the coming judgment. So we listen to God and this leads us to fear God. And listening to God and fearing God naturally leads to obedience of God. And so how do obedience and listening to God work together? Well, this is clearly seen in Genesis chapters 1 to 3. I'm sure you all know the creation story and how it happens. God made the world in 6 days just by speaking a few words. And on the seventh day, God created man. He created us. He created us perfect and pure and righteous. And then in chapter 1, verse 28, he turns his word of creation into a word of instruction, and he blesses the man and woman. And he says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. He tells us what we have to do. And this is a big part of the relationship between creator and creation. It's obedience. It's doing what it's told, like a parent and their child. The child does what the parent tells them to. Obedience is a really important part in relationships. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm a lot happier when I tell my kids to get their feet off the table at dinner and they listen than I am when I tell them the same thing and they look into my eyes laughing as they bring their left foot up to meet their right. And God gives us a few instructions that we need to obey. Be fruitful and multiply, like I said, in Genesis 1, 28. And then in Genesis 2, 17, he says, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And even with that instruction that he gives us that we need to obey, he gives us a good reason why we should listen to it. He says, "For on that day you eat from it, you will certainly die." If we aren't obedient to God, we will die. Now, we're not told how long, but I'm sure Adam and Eve would have gone a length of time being submissive and obedient to God. But then in chapter 3, the serpent comes in and convinces Adam and Eve to stop listening to God, to stop obeying God. And this is where sin and death entered the world. And it was sin that broke the relationship that we have with God, because we weren't obedient to God, because we didn't fear God, because we didn't listen to God. And not listening to God leads to disobedience. And disobedience is sin, which leads to judgment and death. And although we don't always live in disobedience to God, you know, we try to live obedient lives when we can, don't we? We don't always get it right, but we do try to listen to God. We do try to be obedient to God. A great example of how this happens, how it looks for us to try to be obedient to God, is Saul from the Old Testament, King Saul. King Saul becomes king, and in chapter 13, he goes out to meet the Philistine army. Now, the army outnumber him 10 to 1. And so his army, the Israelite army, run to the caves and the crevices in the hills. Now, back in 1 Samuel chapter 10, Samuel had told Saul to wait for him there. Don't do anything. Wait there, and Samuel will come and sacrifice to God and then inform him, tell him what he needs to do. And so Saul waited the 7 days like Samuel instructed him, but Samuel didn't turn up. And so Saul, he thought to himself, well, God wants a sacrifice, so I'll give him a sacrifice. And Saul sacrifices to God. And Samuel turns up, and in verse 12, he says, "You are foolish. You have not kept the command of the Lord, your God gave you." A lot of the time, this is our attempts to obey God. We kind of listen to half of what he tells us, and we kind of make up the rest so it suits us and our situation. We half listen, we half obey, which is still disobedience to God. God is pleased when we listen to him, because we will know what it requires to be obedient to him. See, God is pleased when we listen to him because it means we fear him and it means we obey him. But the biggest reason God likes when we listen to him, is pleased when we listen to him, because fear and obedience lead to right relationship with him. And it's this relationship that God is truly pleased with. Here's the thing, right? As we know, we've admitted, you know, we're only human. Being fearful of God, listening to God and obeying him, it's not one of our strongest qualities, is it? That's because we don't always listen to God. Now, I reckon I could count the amount of people who lived their life completely fearful to God, completely obedient to God, and people that should have right relationship with God. I could count them throughout time. I could count them using one finger, because there's only one person who lived a complete obedient and fearful life and who deserves to be in right relationship with God. And I bet you know who that is. Jesus. Jesus is the only person. He was born outside the line of Adam, and so he was born without sin. He was tempted just like Adam and Eve was, but Jesus listened and feared and obeyed God. That is why God, not once but twice, said, "This is my Son of whom I am well pleased." The biggest difference between Jesus and us is sin. It's because we turned away from God that results in death. See, we are dead in our sins. And as you can imagine, a dead person can't listen. A dead person, like we are spiritually dead, cannot listen to the word of God. Our fallen, sinful state cannot listen to God. And so we are not pleasing to God. But as Christians, we know that we are not dead anymore, don't we? See, Jesus came into the world fully pleasing, obedient to God, and he died our death for us, which means he took that judgment and punishment for us that we deserve. Jesus, he then raised back to life. And listen to this, Corinthians 2:13, it says, "When we were dead in our transgressions and in the uncircumcision of our flesh, he made us alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses." Jesus, he wiped away all of our sins so that we could come back to life with him. If we put our trust in him, we are now spiritually alive. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. "By these, he has given us very great and perfect promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of the evil desires." We are made perfect, just like Jesus. We are made alive, we are made perfect, and we are righteous. We no longer are dead. We are no longer spiritual corpses. We are now alive like Jesus and with Jesus and through Jesus. And we have the Holy Spirit that now opens our ears so that we too can truly listen to God. And so have a look to this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Pretty famous passage, and rightfully so. It says, "Blessed be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into the inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." See, we have new birth. And then John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. "But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be called children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God." We have been reborn. Born of God, we have been made new because of the faith that we have in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And our new selves, reborn alive in Christ, and no longer dead in our sin, we are able to please God because we are able to truly listen to him. Since we're able to listen to God, we're able to fully understand the judgment that comes to those who don't listen to God. And we fear that judgment. We fear God. And we can now obey God. Not obey God like Saul did, but obey God like Jesus did. We can give him our lives. We can give our lives to God in obedience to him. So if you haven't put your trust in Jesus, I want to invite you to do so now. Jesus died to take that punishment that you deserve for turning away from God. Through faith in Jesus' death and resurrection, you can come back to life and spend eternity with him in heaven. See, we are in right relationship with God because it was Jesus who truly listened to God when we couldn't. Through belief in death and resurrection of Jesus, we've been made alive. And now we are no longer spiritual corpses. So we fear God, we obey God, we're in relationship with God, and we can truly listen to him. And so I want to encourage you to continue to listen to him. See, listening to God isn't a one-time thing. We don't turn and listen to God, and then we're right. We are made righteous, but that's going to see its fullness when Jesus returns. And so we need to continually be listening to God, and we do that through reading his word. Now, coming to church or going to gospel teams is a great start, but we really need to be listening to God all the time. And I want to say, you need to be reading your Bible for yourself at least 4 times a week. Now, don't take this as law. This is a suggestion, a strong suggestion in order to listen to God and fear Him and obey Him and have a relationship. 4 times a week, at least, you need to be reading your Bible. I don't mean you need to be reading it, you know, 6 hours every time, 10, 15 minutes. Read your Bible at least 4 days a week. The next one is you need to study the Bible. You need to study His work. I don't mean you need to go to formal education, theological college, but if you get the chance, I think you should do that. It's a great thing to do. Even PTC, these online courses, if you get the opportunity, take them and do them and learn. But as you read 4 times a week, take notes, ask questions, write all over your Bible. You're allowed to do that. See how things from the Old Testament line up with the New Testament, how they inform what we do. Ask questions about what the Bible is saying and get the answers to them. Go out and get yourself a journaling Bible. You can't have too many Bibles. I went and got my journaling Bible. So I have one here that I use normally, and then in my quiet time, I have one that I write all over. Go get yourself another Bible so you can study the Bible. And as you listen to God, you take in the Word of God and you learn from it. It needs to become part of our lives. And so you need to talk about what you've listened to God about, to each other and to those in the outside world. You know, it's not that hard. As we come to church, we're all Christians. We all have the same faith in Jesus. And so come, and as you talk to people, talk about what you've learned in the Bible. You know, hey, how are you doing? You know, today I learned from Genesis 1 that God is so powerful that He created the world just out of talking. That's amazing. How powerful is God? It's so good. What have you been reading, and what did you learn? Because I want to learn too. Talk about what you've listened to God about. And then you also need to live out what you've learned, what you've heard God tell you and listened to God. See, James in chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith by my works. You believe that God is one? Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder." You need to live out your faith. Listen to God and act upon that. See, God is pleased when we listen to Him, because those who listen to God are in right relationship with God. They hear the warnings that not obeying Him, and they are fearful of the judgment that comes when God is disobeyed. The only person that truly listened to God, well, that was Jesus. And through His death on the cross, we have been brought back to life with Jesus. And now we're in right relationship with God, and so we listen when He speaks to us. We obey His word because we can fully understand the judgment that comes when we don't listen to God. So let's pray and thank God for bringing us back to life through the forgiveness of our sins, and ask Him to help us as we continue to listen to His instructions for our life. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your word. We confess that we do not always listen. We are not always fearful of You. We do disobey You. We thank You that You sent Jesus into the world to take the punishment that we so rightfully deserve. Help us to put our trust in Him. Help us to believe that His death takes away our sins and that we are brought back to our life with Him. Help us to continually read Your word, spend time with You and study it. Help us to talk with each other about what we've learned, sharing what God has told us. Help us to live out our faith in obedience to You so that the world can see Your glory. Amen.